Blog and Talk welcome Radio. Back.
And welcome back. We've got Shimon Nika Shabazz El. He's going to talk about the second part of the monotheistic interpretation of Abrahamisms are untrue. Take it away.
Thank you. Islam to the Moors. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to the Muslims and the Mohammedans. Peace to the gods and the earth. Warahubat yazar, hatep yazar to the Nawapians. And for those who know, yay sarem. And also, I have to include the Free Asiatics as well. I got to shout them out because that's where this knowledge actually really stems from, is actually going down that path and that route. But let me get to the point now. In the last session, I was speaking about the spirit of divination, or that of the Python, alluding to the Oracle of Apollo, which is the name of the deity, the name that is used for deity as in the word Yah or Yahweh. So Yah basically means the spirit of divination. Divination is not just like some mythical hoo-ha, hoopla. One of the definitions of divination or divine means to calculate or to make a calculation. So the ancient Hebrews were using the spirits of Yahwehs or Yahwehans to calculate how they should move and what they should do as per, you know, being given readings from the oracle that was given to them. A lot of people don't realize that the Hebrew God did have an oracular instrument. Forgive me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, but there was the Thummim and the Urimim, and these were used by the high priest to discern the will of God or the will of Yahweh. You know what I mean? But I'm gonna move on from there because I believe I touched on that last time. So I wanted to move on to the fact that Allah and Ali Hatin share the same root, which is Aleph Lam Hao, or in ancient Semitic language, it would be Alf Lamed Heth, meaning deity or power. So it doesn't just mean deity, it can actually mean power. That's the definition that I favor, is actually power. That's the same root for Elohim as well, right? Aleph Lam He, or Aleph Lam How, or Alf Lamed Heth. It's the same root for Elohim and El Elo, going right to the base root Aleph Lam or Alf Lamed, which would be El, which is the source. Zine. So the thing is that the Muslims claim that the word Allah has no feminine form or pluralization. But you can see here from the root alone that is not the case linguistically. Maybe on a conceptual basis with the whole hoopla of the monotheistic spell or whatever, that could work. But in reality, the word that we're looking for when we're saying that there is no masculine form or feminine form or pluralization form would be Al-Kulun, which the Nawapians call Al-Kulun, which translates as the all. So you can't have a feminine all or a masculine all or a pluralization of all, because all contains all three of those within its totality, which would be Kulia in Arabic. So basically, the word that they're trying to attribute this quality to isn't the right word. The word that they should have been using was Al-Kulun for that matter. Moving on. So in the New Testament, in Homeric literature, Theos originally meant God. It was then superimposed into meaning the deity as per monotheistic interpretation. what I'm saying is that basically Theos was also tied to Zeus, who originally was the ancient Egyptian deity Amun or Amen. I'm saying so. Basically, this goes right back to the most ancient, you know, spiritual tradition that they're using, because you have to remember that most of the Greek gods were styled from Egyptian deities and were derived from them, and this is an example of such. When it comes to the nature of Christ, the word Messiah in ancient Semitic Afro-Asiatic language means prophet, priest, or king. Christ is a Hindu deity derived from a more ancient Egyptian deity's title, Karasto, meaning astral body of the physical plane, who is Haru, the son of Osiris. So let me break that down. So Christ comes from the word Krishna, and Krishna was the original name of the Hindu god Krishna. But you see, the Hindus were, you know, obliging to the Christians and changed Krishna's name from Krishna to Krishna in order not to offend anybody. But that was the original pronunciation of Krishna's name. It was actually Krishna. And like I said, basically, Christ literally means rub, as in to touch in Sanskrit, okay? Basically, what you're dealing with is a game here, and the game that's being played is in the phonetics, because if you hear the word Christ, you can hear Karast. It has the same consonantal root. And like I said, Karast or Karasto means astral body of the physical plane. So some people are like, well, what is an astral body? An astral body is supposed to be, supposedly, as it is explained in ancient Egyptian spiritual tradition, to be the counterpart of the physical body in a non-physical dimension.
Okay.
So you have this entity that is the astral body of the physical plane, which would basically make him the son of man, because he manifests on the physical plane as the highest consciousness or supreme personality of Godhead, which would go back to the Hindu origin of the word Krishna, or sorry, the river derivation of the word Karas to Krishna. Basically, when it comes to the word I and we in ancient Hebrew, there is no definite singular. Nachnu or Anchi, and Nachnu was transformed or morphed into Nanu of the Quran, which actually means I and we simultaneously. There's no getting away from that. If you look at it, it's very simple, because I'm going to try to break down these pronouns that are used in the Quran. So the most prevalent pronoun in the Quran is Alehi. Alehi translates as he, but there's a trick here, because Alehi has a few letters in it that allude to something a lot more than he. And those three letters are Ain, Lam, and Ya. And those three letters also spell the one of Allah's attributes, which translates as the Most High. But this word goes back to a more ancient root in the Semitic Afro-Asiatic language, because Ali was once Ilu, and Ilu meant a lofty one.
Okay.
right? So you have Elu now, and you're saying to somebody, Elu is such and such, or he is such and such, but he really means lofty one. So when you're saying Alehi, you're really saying lofty one, et cetera, et cetera. So moving on. So the next prevalent pronoun used in the Quran is huwa. Huwa means, can also mean it, as well as he and him. But furthermore, in a mystical sense, and the Sufis actually admit this, it can mean essence.
Okay.
Moving on. The pronoun I in the Quran, which is pronounced Anna, is actually the ancient Sumerian deity Anu or An, which actually just means heavens. And then the pronoun you is Anta. We already just went over An. An means heavens. Ta in the ancient Semitic language is a variation of the word earth. Usually it's pronounced T, but Ta is a little bit more ancient because it goes into the Hamitic root back into the Egyptian, which actually directly means earth. So when you say Anta, you're saying heaven and earth.
Okay.
So if you were to say, I praise you, you're basically saying, I praise heaven and earth. In reality, this is not an interpretation or some sectarian scheme that I'm running on people. This is the raw linguistics, and this is the language we're dealing with. We're not dealing with any interpretations whatsoever. This is I'm telling you, this is the language. And then the last pronoun for he is lahu, and lahu in ancient Hebrew means weary. So you might be like, well, how does that make sense? Well, if you look at the word weary, weary means to endure. Endure is a force. So the force is the power. He is Allah. The force is the power. You see how it works? Because Allah is power and lahu is force. The force is the power. He is Allah. You see how it works? So basically, the last pronoun is for the females now. So the word for her or she or hers is hiya. But if you remove all the vowels off of that word, even in Arabic alone, you even have to take it to another ancient language. If you just leave it in Arabic alone, it transforms into heya, and heya means life or life force.
Okay.
So when you say she is the mother of Muhammad, you're saying life is the mother of Muhammad. In reality, without all the vowels and the grammatical structures and the morphology of these words that has been put into play and placed over people, this is the reality of spells. This is magic that they're running on everybody.
Really?
And I could all, well, that was what I wanted to continue on with on that topic, but I kind of want to segue into another topic here, and this goes back to Al Kulum and the All.
All right.
Now Al Kulum, the All, is where any being is getting its power from. Whether that's on a so-called divine godhood level or a human level or an animal level or a plant level or a fish level or whatever being, all beings that exist. Because when you say supreme being, you're alluding to the fact that that being has some sort of creation, whether that's a self-creation or a creation from sexual intercourse. So the Mohammedans and the Muslims will tell you that Allah was never created, but they call him supreme being. But a being alludes to a creation. That's what being means in essence. Am I wrong there, or am I on point?
It's an opinion.
Well, if you have a being, that being is an existence, and that existence had to come about in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Right? Whether that's through self-generation or sexual intercourse, like I'm saying, like I had said. So when you look at the whole scenario and you say to yourself, well, if Allah's not created and Allah isn't even self-created or never not was,